And we go to Q3.
That was already done, sir.
Thank you. Damn, let's try not to make another mistake. Q6.
Thank you, President Segura. And before we start this item, I just wanted to provide a brief update given the late hour and what temperature outside. We have opened up A and B as long as people agree to follow safety protocols, i.e. wearing a face mask. And so they will be coming in to the boardroom to provide comments in person. So this item is our resolution regarding implementative COVID-19 vaccine requirements. It sounds from kind of generally speaking what we have heard that there's some information out there and there might be some misinformation. So our goal is to provide where we currently are to clarify any misunderstandings about where our recommendation is regarding timelines, regarding notifications or whatnot. So just wanted to touch a couple of general points. One, this vaccine mandate implemented as is recommended for students generally and staff to continue in-person instruction or employment for the 22-23 school year, i.e. for most, the impact would begin for next school year. Second, staff must notify district of intent to complete vaccination process, exemption or resignation by February 1st is what is currently being recommended in this resolution, and vaccination completed by March 15th. The third item is for the 2022-23 school year, students must notify of intent to participate in person and be vaccinated, file an exemption or attend virtually by 2022. So again, it's a matter of appropriately planning for next school year. Fourth, student athletes and visual performing arts must participate in vaccination in order to participate in third season of sport. That would begin on February 5th of this school year. That's one of the targeted areas that will begin before next school year. Fifth, granting the superintendent the possibility of extending timelines or deadlines for students, athletes, or in person for instruction for 12 to 15 year olds if the FDA has not fully approved the vaccination by that deadline. And then sixth, district will allow submission of medical and religious exemptions for both staff and students if and as how required by law. And the bigger point here that I want to get to is really the why. Why are we doing this as a school district? The reason we're doing this and our why is because our goal has been to continue with in-person instruction to the degree possible. And obviously that is our primary driving objective in bringing this forward. It's also our responsibility to ensure we're doing this in a way that's safe and effective for all of our stakeholders. We have students, we have staff, we have parents, and we have a broader community that's impacted by the rules and the procedures that we adopt. So it's taking all these considerations into account very carefully and with going to advice to experts in the healthcare industry to ensure that we're moving forward in a responsible manner. So with that, I'll ask, and this is, I'll just wanted to touch on this slide. I got ahead of myself, but this is the why. As I mentioned, again, we're trying to ensure that we can continue to the largest degree possible to continue to learn in person. The vaccine mandate is the single best protective tool. It's not the only solution. That's why we continue to wear wet face masks. And as we saw today, the governor just reinstituted a face mask requirement. It's my understanding largely due to the Omicron variant. And that will go into place on Wednesday, even for vaccinated individuals. So again, this continues to be an evolving landscape. And thirdly, as we have seen, COVID-19 has disproportionately affected our South Bay communities, particularly people of color, who make up the vast majority of students in our Sweetwater District. So again, taking into consideration, why are we doing this? This is why we're bringing this recommendation forward. And so with that, I'll ask Ms. Carbuccia.
Thank you, Superintendent Aguirre. I'm also joined by Dr. Howard Terrace, who we obviously had on the call last time, and I'm going to phone a friend a lot, or at least when he feels that it's necessary for me to do so. I think we want to start in the whys, as Dr. Aguirre mentioned. As you know, the American Academy of Pediatrics has recommended that students 5 and up get vaccinated. And just to quote the American Academy of Pediatrics, they state, Children learn best when physically present in the classroom, but children get much more out of academics at school. They also learn social and emotional skills at school, get healthy meals, exercise, mental health supports, and other services that cannot easily be replicated online. And that really goes to our why, and it goes to the work that this team has been doing, and you as a board have gone through every one of our board actions related to COVID during the pandemic. So just to review, we are going to talk a little bit about last presentation and have a redo by Dr. Terrace as we need. We are going to talk about the timeline of previous board actions. We are going to talk a little bit about our data update. We are going to talk about recommendations for your consideration and then next steps should you decide to pass this. And my partner that was going to be presenting this with me is assisting with folks speaking, so I'm going to get the bulk of this tonight. So just as you'll recall for board, during the last board meeting, we talked on October 11th. We heard from community members that came to speak in both support and opposition to a vaccine mandate. We heard from you as board members about your questions. We heard from district physician and pediatric specialist, medical specialist, school health specialist, Dr. Howard Terrace, who is on the line with us. And at that time, the board requested that the staff return with a plan to implement a vaccine mandate on or before July 1st, 2022, in alignment with Governor Newsom's recommendation or plan. And I'm going to take you back to my favorite slide. You'll see it in every presentation we do on COVID, because this is about layers of protection for COVID. So while vaccine is one of them and a very, very important one, the vaccine itself doesn't take away from the need to wear a mask. It doesn't take away from the need to wash our hands frequently, to keep distancing, to really think as you're going into the holiday season about your gatherings, to avoid work or school when you are sick. It's one of our major things we've been sharing with parents on a weekly basis. To report cases, to quarantine, to isolate. There are so many of those there. And we wanted to make sure that we recognize one of the other major pieces of this is testing, and that is diagnostic and monitoring testing. And we just lost, but Sophia, who is with Concentric, has been was with us for the entirety of the board meeting and has actually been visiting our different testing locations. Through Concentric, we've tested over 56,000 staff and students since the beginning of this school year, and another 8,000 students, staff, and community members that have been tested through the San Diego State projects that we have. So testing has been and will continue to be a major component of this for us, and we are even expanding testing to in-classrooms starting next semester. So I think that really is a major piece that we just don't want to forget, that this isn't just about vaccination. So through this date, you have taken a number of different actions. This is just to remind you from the beginning of when the COVID pandemic emerged and we learned what the word COVID meant, all the way through your most recent meeting in October. So I just want to make sure that we remind that we've had a number of opportunities where you as a board have taken action. Some of those have included those testing programs and explicitly adopting the work that we are doing with ensuring that our athletes and our students participating in extracurricular activities are tested. So just to remind us, and at any point, Dr. Terrace, you're welcome to jump in, but just to remind us of the statewide vaccination kind of status update. So outside of our South Bay world, what did we see? So on December 11, 2020, the FDA approved emergency youth authorization for the Pfizer vaccine for individuals 16 and up. And this is really when we started seeing vaccination efforts of bringing our students to get vaccinated. In May of this year, they provided that emergency authorization for individuals 12 and up. So that makes it to where just shy, 99.9% of our students are in that age bracket, and they were authorized to be vaccinated. Generally, what we see is about a minimum of 6 months and a little, and obviously more. It took 10 months for moving from emergency authorization to permanent authorization to full authorization. In August 11th, we saw the health order that implemented by the governor that stated that every staff member or volunteer, coach, individual contractor that was coming on to a district facility had to either be vaccinated or weekly test. For us, that means that 411 of our permanent staff members test on a weekly basis as of right now, of our 3,700 plus individuals. And we're still working obviously on our substitutes, our contractors, our volunteers. But on a weekly basis, that's really what we're looking at right now. On August 24th, right after that state order, the FDA fully approved the Pfizer vaccine for students 16 and up, so individuals 16 and up. September 30th, Governor Newsom issued a plan where he required students, or talked about requiring students and staff to receive COVID vaccinations, similar to the other 10 vaccinations students receive, to be able to continue in in-person public education or an employment setting. In that, it talked about age grade groups from 7 to 12 being vaccinated by July 1st. As you know, for us, we actually start school in July, in that third week of July. So we are looking at ensuring that every one of our staff and students, from the general perspective outside of extracurriculars, are able to be vaccinated so we can start the 22-23 school year there. And of course, we are looking at wanting to ensure that full FDA approval is there for age groups. But the governor's order did suggest that districts, as you may see, would implement that sooner. And then just